Hey everyone, Matt from A Medic's Mind here. I just wanted to take a moment to let you know that I just started a Patreon. What's Patreon? Well, quite simply, Patreon is a platform that allows me to continue doing what I'm doing now, creating podcasts and voiceover content for free. But it gives you, my audience, the ability to support me if you want to. It's a monthly subscription support the creator service that will provide me with an opportunity to reinvest back into my audio work so that I can continue to grow and reach more first responders, veterans, and anyone who battles with mental illness and injury. Don't worry, I'm still providing all of my content for free. This just allows you the chance to support me in my work if you'd like to do so. If you want to check it out, head over to patreon.com/ametics mind. That's patreon.com/ametics mind. And to all who have subscribed already, thank you. Your support means the world to me. It allows me to continue what I love to do as well as what I find to be therapeutic, while providing me with the opportunity to grow and improve my craft. So thank you. Now, let's get to this episode of A Medic's Mind.
Come with me all on a journey through my head. I've seen it all. Young and old, all alone, struggle to forget. Journey with me in the mind of a medic. Oh, journey with me in the mind of a medic. 'Cause that's my everyday. Oh, in the mind of a medic.
Hello and welcome to the Medic's Mind Podcast. Merry Christmas, everyone. Thank you for joining me. This will likely be the last podcast I get out before Christmas actually comes to fruition. I think I'm all set. Most of my gifts arrived on time. I just have to spend this week kind of wrapping some gifts now. So I'll be doing that over the next couple of days here. Kind of a quiet house right now. Both kids are gone. They have gone to see some other family members. And so it's kind of a quiet house, but I should tell you guys, I don't think I've told you this yet. I got a puppy. That's right. Sheena and I got a fur baby. It is a German Shepherd mixed with Malinois and a Dutch something, and it's a brindle dog, brindle in color, I mean. For those of you who don't know what brindle is, don't worry. I had no idea either. I had to have the much more eloquent Sheena explain it to me. And it's kind of a combination of browns and blacks in a sort of kind of patchy type pattern. And it's a beautiful dog. There is pictures of it on my Instagram if you want to go check it out. That's at A Medic's Mind. You can head over to my Instagram, check that out. I got pictures of the pooch on there. Beautiful dog. He is a little rascal, though. Oh, my goodness. Turns out he likes to eat cat poo. Yeah, sticks his head right in the cat box, eats cat poo. So I don't know what that's all about, but he seems to have a ravenous appetite for it. I was calling him Heinz for a little while, like the ketchup bottle, because when we first got him, I think he was kind of getting used to his new surroundings, and we have a couple of cats in the house, and obviously young kids, and I think he was kind of just getting used to things, so he was a little bit nervous, and he was having some runny poops, and every time you take a poop, you just hear, and it sounded exactly like a Heinz ketchup bottle, so I was calling him Heinz for a while. So I think his middle name is going to be Heinz. His first name is Scout Heinz. I think that's a great name. He's a great dog. He's rambunctious, likes to chew things. He's like 10 weeks old, so he's pretty young. Pretty stoked about it, though. It's kind of it's a nice uplifting thing to have at Christmas time because, as I've spoken about in previous episodes of the podcast, Christmas time is a sort of a conflicting season for me. I always look forward to it, but then as the days approach and get closer, I start to have ruminative contemplations that are weighted and saturated in some grief spikes. And grief spikes are okay, you know. You got to feel what you got to feel, and you have to navigate those things as you navigate them. And that's really all I'm trying to do is just navigate. I got Sheena here with me, and that's a huge a huge relief for me. She's such a supportive character in my life, and couldn't be happier in that front. I mean, she's remarkable. So pretty lucky guy, I got to tell you. I have a podcast for you today called Little Orphan Maddie. Now, when I was a kid, I was not an orphan. However, there were a lot of lonely moments, and that's what this blog is all about, this podcast, this read-through. Little Orphan Maddie, that's what I've dubbed it. It's what the story is about. And it's kind of, it's not really about Little Orphan Maddie. It's more about a Christmas wish, but Little Orphan Maddie seemed like the right title. And I think you'll understand as you go through and listen. And hopefully it'll come through and be clear. Yeah, it's not the most uplifting story. There are a little, some lighthearted moments within it. So I hope you guys like that aspect of it. I apologize. I will try. I can't promise anything. I will try this week to get something out prior to Christmas, another podcast episode. It might just be something small and light, but I will try to get something light out for Christmas. Maybe it'll just be commentary. Maybe it'll just be a quick check-in with you guys, but I will try my best. I can't promise anything, but I will do my best to have something out there. Just to let you know, if you listen to my podcast and you live in British Columbia and you're in the Abbotsford or Chilliwack area, from December 19th to the 23rd, I am featured on a Christmas radio show on 101.7 FM Civil Radio. That's 101.7 FM Civil Radio. I have a Christmas story that I wrote, produced, narrated, and it is being featured on the radio show. It's about an hour and 40 minute show. And it is premiering on all those days, starting at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. So if you're interested, feel free to tune into that. There's a few radio station apps you can download on your phone, and you could just search for Civil FM or type in the 101.7 FM and look for Civil. Just try any combination of those things, and it should pop up. And you can listen to it that way if you want to listen to it live. I will be airing the audio, but I'm going to wait until after the show obviously has been aired in totality, so you'll have to wait for that if you don't get a chance to hear it, but you will eventually, because I'm going to post it on this podcast. So I want to thank you guys very much for your support. I want to wish you guys a Merry Christmas. If I don't talk to you beforehand, I want to say Happy New Year to you all. I will definitely check in before the new year, but this is Little Orphan Maddie, and hopefully you don't hate it. Merry Christmas. It's coming up next.
Medic One, you're responding. Code 4. Story time.
I can't remember exactly how old I was, but the recall of details surrounding the event, well, they're pin sharp, and they've been with me ever since I was a boy. I sat in a wobbly wooden chair at my desk, pen in hand and forlorn gaze stapled to the page beneath me. My scribbles were legible, to a disciplined eye, of which I hoped the intended receiver of this urchin prose was. I needed him to be, because with my trembling, anxious hand, this was the best I could do. Letters that squiggled and bled into one another formed the run-on composition of my hasty request. My eyes rested in a slight squint as they ingested the spastic exposition I had just finished writing. I needed to make sure that it was perfect and clear. There could be no room for assumption or insinuation. I had to make doubly sure that I was descriptive, but not brash nor dictatorial. What I was asking for was huge, and I wasn't even sure that it could be delivered by sleigh. But I had to try. When I was finished reading my specificities as told on paper, I folded the parchment and placed it into the envelope as carefully as I could. It was not at all fragile, but I was, so the paper became the facsimile of my apprehension. I slid my tongue along the glue strip of the envelope and then galloped into the living room where Wendy was sitting. Wendy was a friend of the family. She had taken us in, my whole family and I. She was looking after us while my mother battled her newly diagnosed curse of cancer. I ran over to her with envelope in hand. I informed her that this was my letter to Santa, and that nothing was to happen to it in between getting from my hand to hers, and from hers to the post office. I needed her to confirm for me that she would carry this written wish with the reverence equitative to that of a biblical tale. In a very windy way, she assured me warmly that the jolly fat guy would indeed get my letter. I felt confident that he would. Boyish excitement took hold of my inner workings. Getting to sleep that night was near to impossible. I wondered if he would understand what I was asking for. Because what I was asking for was Chuck Norris. That's right. I asked Santa for none other than Chuck freaking Norris.
In the eyes of a ranger, the unsuspecting stranger had better know the truth of wrong from right.
You may be asking yourself, why? What could a young boy want with a bearded karate legend such as Chuck Norris? And that's fair. It's an odd request. But hear me out. I think I can clear this up for you.
Because that's where the Rangers gonna be.
When I was young, no older than 9, my abusive father was removed from our home. When I say removed, I mean truly and totally removed. The police came and they ensured that he and his nefarious essence was cleansed from our home. That meant that my mother was now alone. I mean, she had us kids, but in one moment, she had not only lost a relationship that she was intimately a part of, but she lost the father of her kid, the monetary contributor of our home, and above anything else, she lost the innocence and appearance of a happy home, no matter how fabricated it was to begin with. She lost a lot. Including working, functional relationships with her kids. With us. With me. A short time after all this took place, she lost her health, too. From what I recall, my mother was diagnosed with cancer at almost the same time as when those officers closed our front door behind them. So much had happened in such a short time. As my mother battled the crippling heft of cancer, she migrated from couch to hospital and back again. When she was home, she was enveloped by a swath of overlapping blankets, sprawled out on the couch. Her only form of entertainment boasted from the television across the room. I used to sit on the floor in front of the couch so as to be nearer to her. I spent most of my life in fear of being orphaned, the manner of which my father was taken, and then the manner in which cancer can take people. I was terrified. Most of my waking moments were spent making sure that my mother was still alive. When I would sit on the floor and watch TV with her, it filled me with a sense of normalcy that I so craved. I should have put that on my Christmas list. It would likely have been an easier ask over that of kidnapping a celebrity. Back in the early 90s, Chuck Norris was a star. I mean a man of Hollywood. A solidified silver screen badass. He also happened to be my mother's celebrity crush. Anytime that man and his immaculate beard graced our television screen, my mother would swoon and gush aloud.
Ooh, Chucky baby. Now that's a man I could have for Christmas.
After holding back normative grumbles and disapproval at hearing my mother speak this way, I would often later in the evening think about how great it would be if I could somehow make that happen for her. In my undeveloped brain, I think I somehow thought of that procurement as a cure for my mother's ailing spirit. And so I did what any hopeful boy would do. I wrote to Santa and asked him to inform Chuck Norris that my mother had a crush on him and that he would be required at our family Christmas dinner, scheduled for just after 6 p.m. Christmas night.
You know, you were trying the wrong technique. techniques against these skinheads. No offense, guys.
Who the fuck are you?
But an elbow would have been a lot better. Come here. Personally, Mr. Kwan, I think your food is great.
In my letter, I wrote about how sick my mother had been, how scared I was of losing her. I let him know that if he became my dad and helped my mom, I'd try really hard to get good grades and make him happy. I asked Chuck Norris to be my father. When I was a boy, I was not an orphan, though there were many lonely days and sleepless nights. Now, as a man, I am an orphan. My mother died 3 years ago. Cancer didn't kill her, but suicide did. And if I had a pen and piece of paper now, I would not write and ask for Mr. Norris. I would beg and plead for just one more Christmas day to spend with my mom. She was a tough woman. Turned out that she didn't need a man, not even the king of karate himself, Chuck Norris. She raised me alone. She fought cancer on multiple occasions and yet somehow still managed to make sure I had moments of imitative normalcy. I say imitative because normal isn't something our family was blessed with, and I certainly didn't and likely still don't fit the bill of normal. Asking Santa for an action hero in the flesh as opposed to in toy form? Yeah, I can't say I ever heard my friends admit to such an oddity of a wish. Today is my mom's birthday. December the 8th. She would have been 72. I didn't get to spend the day with her, with Chuck, or with a father. Hell, not even with members of my family. We all live a ways from one another, both in spirit and geography. My older sister Lisa died too, just this year in fact. So to say that she's a little far away would be an erroneous understatement. But maybe, just maybe, she's with my mom. I did get to spend the day with my girlfriend. We went to KFC, my mother's favorite place. Well, one of them. My mother had a rather healthy appetite for all things trans fat. We got a bucket of chicken and my mother's staple, coleslaw. As we ate, my girlfriend said that she was thinking of my mom, wondering what it would have been like to meet her. Mom died before I met Sheena. Mom died before I became sober. And Mom died before I could tell her that I loved her. And so I guess I'm saying it now. Mom, I love you. I never told you about my letter to Santa. I always felt that perhaps it was my fault he never came. Worried that maybe I just wasn't good enough. So I fret about telling you for fear of upsetting you. But now you know. Back all those years ago when you asked what I wanted for Christmas, it wasn't a Biker Mouse from Mars action figure I wanted. It was Chuck. Or as you would call him, Chucky Baby. Happy birthday, Mom. And Merry Christmas.
Thank you.
journey with me in the mind of a medic. Oh, journey with me in the mind of a medic, 'cause that's my everyday.
A Medic's Mind would like to take this opportunity to thank its Patreon supporters. Drew Lidke, thank you very much for the support of the A Medic's Mind podcast. Monthly contributions like yours ensure that I get to continue doing what I'm doing, grow, learn, and reach more people. So thank you. See you on the next episode of A Medic's Mind.